This is a life-changing message by the Apostle General Sam Crenshaw Ankara. Stay tuned.
What love is this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends? For a man to go through the pain and the shame and the ridicule and the mockery of the cross. By the time you had finished all, the curse of the cross had become the blessing of mankind. The shame of the cross has become the honor of men. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for salvation. Thank you for the precious blood. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you for the example of Jesus. Thank you for the obedience of Jesus. This morning, let your word come alive. Let healing flow in the weeks of your word and in the power of your word. Let grace and glory be revealed and be released. Let someone who is looking for God, and let somebody who is looking for restoration, and let somebody who is looking for healing, let somebody who is looking for transformation, let someone today on radio and social media and in-person service and on Powerline TV, let somebody receive an encounter with divinity. Let your word become flesh and let it dwell amongst us so that we shall behold his glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. The saints of God, clap those hands and shout a big amen. Please be seated. Our text for consideration this morning is from Matthew chapter 27, verse number 51 to 54. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 51 to 54. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Today I prophesy, Jesus, wherever they have buried your glory,
Jesus,
your destiny,
coming out,
your future,
I am coming out,
your children,
I am coming out.
Clap your hands and say, I'm coming out.
I am coming out.
I didn't hear you shout again and say, I am coming out.
I am coming out.
Kalabodibo sande kataya mohandi.
Jesus,
your graves will open.
Open.
And you are coming out.
I receive it.
You have been buried prematurely. Your life has been cut prematurely.
I am out.
Your political life has been cut prematurely. Your
out.
Business has been cut prematurely. But today, as we celebrate Good Friday, your grave is opening again.
I receive it.
Increase the celebration. Increase the celebration. And coming out of the graves, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So not only did they rise from the dead, but they also went to show themselves to people. And said, I was the one you buried prematurely. Now I am alive again.
Amen.
The Lord is going to parade you on show.
I receive it.
Those who didn't give you the chance will know that God gave you a chance.
Hallelujah.
Those who wrote you off will realize that God has brought you back into the limelight.
I receive it.
Am I speaking to some believers around the world?
Yes.
clap your hands and say, I'm coming back.
I am coming out.
Say, I'm coming back.
I am 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 coming back.
You will show yourself to those who didn't give you the chance and opportunity. If you say amen, I know you are here.
Amen.
So when the centurion, verse number 54, and that's where the message is. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, when they saw the graves open, when they saw the resurrection, when they saw the stones flying, when they saw the happenings and what had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. My message is entitled, The Son of God. Go ahead and give God praise. I am aware that there are many disputes about the sonship of Jesus Christ in relation with God. Many people misunderstand and disagree when we say Jesus, the Son of God. They even get more angry when we say Jesus, the God's Son. They even want to stone us when we say Jesus is God. Today we won't go into the most troublesome area. Let's settle on the list that has troubled them, and they will not accept, they will not understand, and they will fight. It doesn't matter how much you fight President Nana Akufo-Addo, he is still president. Oh, Assassin Radio, today I have come down for you. It doesn't matter what you say about him. He is president for three reasons. Number one, he is president by statute and law. Two, he is president by process. Three, he is president by reality. He is sitting there. He is calling the shots. And you are here on radio every day, you are insulting him. The insults in 8 years have not affected him. He is president by statute. He is president by process. He is president by reality. I don't care the argument that goes on about you.
Jesus.
God is in the process of making you.
I receive it.
God is in the process of establishing you.
Amen.
Hey. The lovers of Apostle General, hear me, Apostle General lovers. It doesn't matter what you say about Apostle G.
Jesus.
It doesn't matter what you say. Apostle General is Apostle General not only by name, by works, by his deed. He has built the oil dome.
Yes.
He has a large following.
Glory.
He has preached for 33 years.
Yes.
He has raised sons.
Yes.
God has used him. He has paid people's school fees.
Yes.
He has educated people. He has many sons and daughters around the world.
Come on now.
It doesn't matter what you say. Surely this is the Son of God. Hey. Clap your hands and say, every argument,
settle.
Can I speak into your life?
Yes.
Don't worry about the arguments going on about you.
Come on now.
God is about to
tell me.
Truly, this man is the Son of God. The centurion who was supervising the crucifixion, the unbelieving centurion, not one of his disciples, an outsider, an unbeliever, a Gentile, has an encounter. So this man is the Son
of God.
Of God. Can you get up and go to seven people and say, the argument about you is about to be settled? Oh, you are not prophesying. Come on. If you are watching with your family, tell somebody in your house and say, the argument about you is about to be settled.
I need no other argument.
All the lies about you is about to be settled. All all the confusion about you is about to be settled. Go around and prophesy.
Jesus.
Come on. Make a joyful noise. I need no celebrate Jesus. Celebrate the Son of God. Celebrate the Son of God. He just claimed he is. He is not the Son of God because he was born by a Virgin Mary. And he is not the Son of God because he had a manipulative spirit so he could convince people. No. Number one, what makes him the Son of God is his deity and his attributes. His deity and his attributes. Number one. Number two, what makes him the Son of God is his obedience to do the most hardest assignment of God, to die a shameful death on the cross. Show me anybody who gave his life to be crucified, to be spat upon, to be molested and to be handled the way Jesus was. Show me. He was not the Son of God just by name, by attribute. Two, by obedience. And then number three, he was Son of God by example. He showed us who God is here on this earth. Come on now, what are you talking about? Let me see my hands. Sons who are lifting. Apostle Junior Sons, lift up your hand. You see how you are many? You see how you are many? I need only one person amongst you who will step in as the next Apostle Junior. Only one. Now, so go ask yourself, are you the one? Are you the one? How do you qualify? How do you qualify to become Apostle Junior? Nonsense. Who can say, oh, sorry, I know about Apostle G. Okay? You must qualify by your attributes, by your obedience, and by your example. Because you must understand that the standard I've raised is so high. How are you going to meet this standard? Somebody say, Ajinyami. Accept God. Papa is not my son because he's my biological son. As a biological son, what I'll do for him, I've done for him. I've paid his school fees. I've raised him up. Now he has also started his own family. Now he has not, his children have the audacity to be calling Papa Daddy in front of me. When he is calling me daddy, those small girls are also calling him daddy. My work in him is finished. The rest of his life, he has to prove and to show that he's a true son of this man standing here. Are you clapping or you are doing something like clapping? Oh, worship leaders, quiet. Hear this one. You are not a royal house member because of your membership. You must be a real royal, by attitude, by attributes, by attitude, by example, by your daughtership and your sonship, by the exemplary life, by the way you portray the vision of this church outside, that makes you a child of this house. Not your holding microphone and leading worship. Clap your hands if I'm speaking wisdom here. Look at the attributes of Jesus. First, I want you to know that Jesus appeared only in the New Testament. The Old Testament is all about God, the Father, God, the Creator. In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim. That's all the world knew before Jesus showed up. When I mentioned the name of God, you repeat after me, Jehovah. Repeat after me, Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Yahweh. Yahweh. Elohim.
Elohim.
Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Adonai.
Adonai.
That's the name of God. The name was so feared and honored and respected that they could not even pronounce it. For the sake of reverence. And history tells us, when they were even writing the Old Testament, anytime they reach where they must write Jehovah, Lord, God, where they must pronounce and mention the name of God, they will put the ink that they are using in writing the other sentences, they'll put down and they will take a new one. And then they write Jehovah, Yahweh. When they finish, they put it down. That's how much they feared and respected the name Jehovah. Go ahead and give God some praise. Now, look at what the Bible says about Jehovah. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 40 verse number 3. Isaiah chapter 40 verse number 3. Quickly. Isaiah chapter 40 verse number 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You see capital L-O-R-D. Anytime you see in English capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Hebrew translation is Yahweh or Jehovah, Lord, Jehovah, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3. Now see what Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3 says about this new Jehovah in the New Testament, whom we call the Son of God, that people are disputing. Isaiah spoke some 800 years later, Matthew chapter 3 verse 3. For this is who, John the Baptist, for this is who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. Lord, Jehovah Jesus, make his path straight. God has said about himself, he is the one that is making the path straight and preparing the way. 800 years later, another man up, is it 800 or 1,200 years between Isaiah and to Malachi is 400, and then there was silence between the Malachi and Matthew. There was a silent period of silence of 400 years. So that makes it to 800. 800. So 800. 800 years later, a man shows up walking on the Sea of Galilee. And then the prophet John the Baptist, this is the man that Isaiah was talking about. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Oh, today our song that we shall close with, Jesus, the Son of God. I believe in you. Oh, get ready for that one.
I believe in you.
Can you practice Jesus,
the Son of God? I believe in you.
Oh, let's look for Jehovah again in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Let's look for Jehovah again in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah, again, of hosts. Around this time, Jesus is not known. This is God, Jehovah. This is God, Jehovah. Jesus is not known in Isaiah. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And we all agree, Jesus is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. Oh, did I say Jesus? God. God is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. Jehovah, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, God, God. There is no one like God. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 4. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 6. Now let's look at Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 17. Look at Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 17. In Revelation chapter 1 verse number 17, this is what the Bible says. And when I saw him, John the Revelator was talking about his encounter with Jesus. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Who is Jesus? Why do you argue? Oh, your argument about the president of Ghana doesn't matter. He is president by law. He is president by process. He is president in reality. Your argument and your disbelief will not change the attributes and the deity of Jesus. It doesn't change. A young shepherd rose up and he wrote one of the most powerful psalms that the world has celebrated in Psalm 23 and verse 1. And he opens up in verse 1 and says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah is my shepherd, so I shall not want. Jehovah is the provider. Jehovah gives provision. Jehovah builds nations. Jehovah keeps nations. Later, a young man walked on the Sea of Galilee. And John chapter 10 and verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. The God of the Old Testament is my shepherd. Now the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd that lays down my life for the sheep. Testament shepherd is a shepherd that provides. The New Testament shepherd is a shepherd that lays down his life. Jesus, you are the Son of God. Truly, this man is the Son of God. Number two, he is the Son of God because he is the only one that can leave his throne and his glory above and to come and take the shape of a bond servant, to be born here into the weaknesses of mankind and to walk through this place and to be an example of who God is and to show us who God is and to show us how God wants us to have authority and dominion over the birds of the air, over the fishes of the sea, over the animals of the earth, how to tame them, how to control them, how to overcome sicknesses, how to prevail against darkness. Jesus is the example of God's obedience. If you want to know the mind of God towards your sickness, see the way Jesus Christ handled every sickness that came his way. If you want to know the mind of God towards death and the grave, check on Sunday the resurrection celebration and the power of resurrection, and you know how God wants you to overcome death and the grave. If you want to know God's mind concerning financial lack and poverty, check Jesus' control over resources. He said, catch the fish, open their mouth, and then take away the coin and pay the tax. He said, feed these people. They said, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them to me. He blessed them. And then Jesus could feed 5,000 men and excesses were collected. If you want to know what God's mind is concerning his daily provision, watch Jesus Christ. Watch his example. He is the express example of who God wants us to be like here on this earth before we go to heaven. And on this day, 2,000 years ago, they arrested him. They accused him. They lied about him. And they took him before the elders. And Pilate said, what has this man done? I don't know what sin he has committed. He said, get rid of him. He's an imposter. He's a liar. He says he's the Son of God. And his followers are also claiming he's the Son of God. And I have never understood that accusation. If somebody comes to you and says, I'm a rich man, and you yourself can see the way he's dressed, that he's a poor man, do you kill that person? I won't mind you. That is why I don't encourage anybody to go to any shrine, any juju, and any altar that believes that the altar and the juju and the shrine can make you rich and can give you money. The person who is at the shrine, who is saying that he can give you money, watch the way he's dressed, watch his sitting, watch his sleeping place, watch him. If he has what it takes to make people rich, he must make himself rich first. Imposter, you are a liar. They put the crown of shame and the crown of thorns. And so let me let you know that the way the Bible described what Jesus Christ went through 2,000 of years ago today has never been properly described. I want you to know it has not been properly described. They tore his garment, his long beard, they pulled the beard with their hands. Not with blade, not with knife. They will hold and then they'll pull. Then finally, when they put the crown of thorns, I wanted to know that the crown was made of thorns and thistles. So there was no way they could have used their hands because it would have hurt them. So they actually used very hard stick to hit so it will pierce into his skull. And then the blood will be gushing. And the thorns and the thistles pierce into his head, into his face. That's why Isaiah chapter 53 said, and if you saw his face, you will never recognize him. He was totally disfigured. You couldn't tell if this was a man or an animal. You couldn't tell. And yet he knew that that was his assignment. He knew that that was what he was supposed to do for mankind. But the Bible says he humbled himself even unto death. Even death on the cross, he was obedient. He was obedient to suffer. He was obedient to die. He was obedient to sacrifice. He was obedient. This is what makes him the Son of God. You want to be a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God? Demonstrate it. Show it. Your attitude, your attributes. Show it by your obedience. Show it by the example of life that you live at home, in the office, to your children, and to your office mates, and so on. Show it. He was not only the Son of God because he pronounced it upon himself, nor the Old Testament confirms the New Testament, but there were witnesses who witnessed. In Matthew chapter 17, three witnesses, John, James, and Peter. Jesus took them to the mountain, and then Jesus climbed up. And then while they were sleeping, suddenly they opened their eyes, and they saw that Jesus had appeared. He was not alone. And then they saw Moses and they saw Elijah, and then Peter woke them up and said, see Elijah, Moses talking to Jesus. And the Bible says it was such a beautiful scenery. The imagery was so excellently, explicitly beautiful, white, crystal clear, with beauty and glory and presence. And then Peter started screaming, Lord, it is good that we are here. Shall we make three booths? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And then they heard a voice. And so Jesus is not the Son of God only because he claimed it, but God is a witness. And the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Obey him. This is my... And Peter was there, and John was there, and James was there. These are witnesses who saw and heard, and they have written it down. You better believe it or reject it. There are witnesses. How about the witnesses who were lined up at Jordan in the baptism? Long queue. And then Jesus came into their midst. And everybody was being baptized by John the Baptist. And then when it got to Jesus' tent, the heavens opened. And then the presence and the spirit was resting upon him like a dove. And then the voice came and all of them were there. Many people heard it. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. A beloved son. This is my son who obeys me. This is my son who walks after my will. This is my son who do the most difficult thing to uphold my name and my righteousness. This is my beloved son. Increase that clap offering. Listen to another witness called John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse number 14.
John chapter 1, verse number 14. Listen to another witness. This same witness, John. He was there at Transfiguration. He walked with Jesus. He followed Jesus. He heard all the teachings. He observed James, Peter, and others. Apostle Paul met Jesus when he had died and gone, and rose and risen, and ascended into heaven. Then Apostle Paul met him. John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the word, John writing, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now, let's start from chapter 1, verse 1. The witness of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So this is Jesus that we have traced in the Old Testament, and this is the Jesus that is honored in the New Testament. This is the Jesus that is Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim in the Old Testament and honored in the New Testament. In the beginning. Jesus has always been in the beginning. He has always been there in the beginning. A certain preacher said about Jesus Christ, the only baby who, when he was born, he was older than his father and mother. You can't receive wisdom at all. I'm going to say it again. The only child who, when he was born, was older than his mother. The only child, when he was born, he was already a miracle to his family. The only child who, when he was born, he was already born a star. The only one who was born and people were bringing him gifts, and the gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Jesus, the only one who was born, and Herod and his kingdom began to shake, and children began to die because of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Somebody said, Apostle General, I don't understand this. Okay. You don't need to understand. Anybody who wants to understand God, you become crazy. Because if you want to understand God, then you want to find, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So where was God before? Who created God? Before the beginning, where was God? Where was God? Who created God? God. Where do you come from? Hey, don't think about these things. All you should accept is that you live in the world created by a God. And since this world was created, oxygen has never failed. The sun has never failed. The moon has never failed. The mountains have never failed. Rains have never failed us. And there is a God who, by his mighty divine hand, he controls these things from behind. And so he is God. Whether you understand him or not, he is God. Can I have a celebration of believers? Don't let me have this feeling that you are becoming one of the doubters of the sovereignty and the deity and the attributes of God. Don't let me have that feeling. Whether you understand it or you don't understand it, he is God. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus,
the Son of God.
Say it again.
I believe in you.
Hey.
I believe in you.
At the mention of his name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. His name is Jesus. Receive your healing. Receive salvation. Receive the glory. Receive the honor. Come on, right now. Jesus, surely.
is the Son of God. John chapter 1. Now, jump to verse 14. Now we see Jesus in the beginning. Jump to verse 14. Jump to verse number 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. Now see what John is calling him. John is calling him the begotten of the Father. The begotten. You've been reading it over and over again. You have never bothered to ask. The word begotten there means that Jesus was begotten. He was not born. There's a difference between being born and being begotten. You are born because a man met a woman and impregnated you. Jesus was not born the way you were born. He was begotten from above because the Spirit of God overshadowed the woman. And the woman became pregnant. So therefore, the one which you are about to be born shall be called the Son of the Highest. He is not born. He was begotten. Two different things. He was not born. God begat him. You were born through normal process. Jesus was born through divine process. He is Son of God because of His attributes, because of His deity, because of His obedience, and because of His example. Oh, you want to be son of Apostle General? I'm looking for plenty of sons. I'm looking for plenty of daughters. But you have to qualify. You have to pass the test. Free counsel for political parties, free counsel. It is not anybody who makes himself available or herself available for public office that is qualified for public office. It is not everyone who makes himself or herself available for election that is necessarily qualified for public office. You qualify for public office by certain attributes of nationalism. You have to have a certain quality, a certain heart to serve. Then you can become. And I dare say, most of the people who have been making themselves available don't qualify. As soon as they get to the place of power and office, they forget about their social contract with the people. They forget. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy upon us. Oh, we are preaching Easter. We are preaching Easter. Jesus is our example. Let me finish that text in John chapter 1, verse 32. Jump to verse 32. So, the Word became flesh and manifested amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the begotten of the Father. Verse 32. And John bore witness. John, there are witnesses, la. There are witnesses, brother. There are witnesses. Say, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove,
And he remained upon him. 33. 33. And I did not know him. He did not know Jesus. But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Clap your hands. There are witnesses to back what God has said. There are witnesses to back his attributes and deity. There are witnesses. There are witnesses. There are witnesses. And when the centurion saw the graves open, the shakings, and saw Jesus, the thorns, the crown, the blood, his face, truly, this man was the Son of God. Here is one text, one last one I want to share with you, and we should be entering into ministration right now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is not asking you to recognize him as the Son of God because he just wants something, but so that the works of the devil in your life be destroyed. And for the works of the devil to be destroyed, minister, first step number one, you must accept that Jesus is the Son of God. Not only accepting, you must recognize. Not only recognize, you must have an encounter. And for those of you who are in church for many years, I thank God for your life. This morning is another chance to know Jesus Christ again. The day you get tired and you think you know Jesus enough, your Christian walk has come to an end. You don't know Jesus Christ enough. Every day, it doesn't matter the anointing, it doesn't matter who you are. Every day, every week is an opportunity to have an encounter, another encounter, another encounter. Apostle Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. At the time Apostle Paul was writing this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he was getting and nearing the end of his ministry. And he said, I don't know him enough. Hey, Sam Crunchy and Christ children, you don't know Jesus because you were born into Sam Crunchy and Christ's house. You must have your own encounter. Truly, this man was the Son of God. You don't know Jesus, the Son of God, because you were baptized in church. But because you saw him and you recognized him and he revealed himself and you saw his glory, the glory as of the begotten of the Father. In our recent trip with Mama Rita, one of our prayer days, I said, honey, shall we pray that God will reveal himself more to us? I said, shall we pray? I said, that we shall know more. There is so much you need to know about God that as long as you live on this earth and God has not called you to eternity, it means it's an opportunity to know him. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss it. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. You don't know him enough. said, shall we pray, honey? Shall we pray that God will reveal himself more? Shall we have more understanding? Shall we have more revelation? The moment you catch that revelation about the Son of God, it is the beginning of the destruction of the works of the devil in your life. For this cause, the Son of God was revealed so that he would destroy the works of the devil. You recognize him as the Son of God, it is the beginning of the destruction of the works of the devil. Somebody shout that big amen.
Amen.
First John chapter 5, verse number 4. First John chapter 5, verse number 4. First John chapter 5, verse number 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. Even our faith. Now, who is this overcomer? Where does this overcomer start from? Verse number 5. Verse number 5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. These are witnesses. These were people who were there. They were at the transfiguration. They were at the baptism. They followed Jesus. They saw Lazarus raised. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. They saw Jesus gather the fish. They saw Jesus heal the epileptic. They saw Jesus raise the dead. They saw Jesus cleanse the lepers. They saw. These are witnesses. Who is it that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, the carrier of attributes of God, the deity of God. Jesus, whose life began in the Old Testament and ended in the New Testament. Jesus, the God of the Old Testament, and Jesus, the revelation of the New Testament. Jesus. The one who, when he was born, he was already older than his mother. And one of the things that angered the critics of Jesus Christ, he was teaching them. He said, your father Abraham even wished to see my days. And he saw it. He said, we have had enough. We have had enough. What nonsense. You are just 31 years old. And you are talking about Abraham saw your days. Who do you think you are? Nonsense. Fully. They took stones. And he said, before you stone me, here another one. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, before God decided to bring Abraham, I already was there. I was there in the beginning. And when Abraham was seeking for me on Mount Moriah, and I appeared to him, and I said, Abraham, it's okay, stop, look behind you. You see me, Jesus. I am caught in the ticket over there. Take me and sacrifice me. Who do you think your father Abraham was sacrificing? It was me, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I grew up with a brother called Emmanuel. He was 2 years older than me. And I also contend that he was more intelligent than me. Why? My brother was very smallish. And so in school, he was bullied by the bigger boys. So the only way he could survive was to outsmart the bigger boys. So my brother was very smart, intelligent. He could dribble the older boys. He could lie about one to the other and create confusion in their midst, and the older boys would start fighting. And anytime he was accused that he was the one, he said, me? And then you tell the bigger boss, when you look at my stature, my stature, do you think I can do? They say, look, Emmanuel, you are talking the truth. And then the bigger boss will be fighting. This was how my brother survived. Making good use of his smallest size in order for him to go to school and finish. And I know you know some of the smartest boys in your class, they were the smallest ones who couldn't talk. When they open their mouth and they say something, everybody will start laughing. This is the way smallest people survive. We, the taller ones and the bigger ones, because we're always school prefect, we're always commanding, giving instructions. When he was 16 and I was 14, we all had the opportunity to take the most decisive decisions ever in our life, which was to encounter Jesus or not to encounter him, to accept him and his deity and his attributes, or to reject him. To accept that when you have Jesus, it is the beginning of the destruction of family altars, family curses, handwritings and ordinances. Or to be ready to continue to be covered and controlled by the altars of my father's house, the altars of alcoholism, the altars of poverty, the altars of lack, the altars of divorce, the altars of setbacks. I accepted Jesus. My brother joined a group of weed smokers. He started smoking and drinking from age 16. He didn't stop until he died at age 32. At the time of his death, no wife, no child, no house, no room, no bicycle, no nothing. I was very young. I did my best. I witnessed to him. But at that time, I didn't have enough power to break altars. For you to be able to break altars in your father's house, you have to come to a certain level of knowledge of Christ. You have to come to a certain reality. Jesus must reveal himself in a certain way to you. And I hope you are listening to me. Those of you who are taking the altars of your father's and your mother's houses for joke, your being born again now is the number one step. But grow in stature and grow in power. That's the only way you can save others. The best I did for my brother was to convert him for 2 weeks. And even those 2 weeks, I brought him to where I was living after secondary school. I had finished secondary school and I was still young, a student, but I had some small fire in me. So I invited him to where I was staying and I locked him up for 2 weeks. And I plastered him with Christ. And then the little food that I had, I shared with him. For 2 weeks, he was born again. And when I thought now I could release him to go home, as soon as I released him and he went to his company said, Judas. By this time, he had changed his name from Emmanuel to Judas. And he had added another nickname, Agama, oh Judas. Agama, oh Judas. And when he's coming, smallish as he is, then he'll be raising his hand, he will be high. And they say, we miss you, we miss you. Then they brought the wee and the smoke. The wee had this smoke for 2 weeks. He flushed everything within. He recovered all. He overtook and he recovered all without fail. Day two, he was dead and gone. And now subtract 14 years from 64. And you can tell that in these last 50 years, Jesus has made the difference in my life. 50 years he has never failed. 50 years the word has become flesh. 50 years I have broken the altars of my father's house and my mother's house. 50 years I have changed the history and the story. 50 years Jesus has helped me. Truly, this man was the Son of God.
Jesus, the Son of God. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Lift up your voice, sir. The church is in prayer. The church is in worship.
Jesus, the Son of God. I believe in you. I believe in you.
So, why do we make noise about Jesus when God the Father is on the throne? How many gods do we have? One God. We have only one God. But this God reveals himself in three personalities, which we call three persons, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are not three different gods. One God in three persons. In three personalities, if you like. One God in three functions. What does the Father do? The Father selects, the Son saves, and the Spirit seals. The Father selects you, chooses you, appoints you. The Son saves you, and the Holy Spirit seals you in God. Selects, saves, and secures. One God in three functions. Show me where your salvation will be without Jesus. Show me. And you know who I'm talking to now. I am talking to those who have brought Jesus aside. I am talking to those who don't recognize Jesus. And they say they want to deal with the Father directly. The Father will refer them. He said, my duty is to select. But salvation is through my Son. No one comes to the Father but by me. Anyone who comes outside of me to the Father is jumping through the window. The same is a thief. Jesus, the Son of God.
Jesus, the Son of God. Hey, hey. I believe in you. I believe in you.
I believe in you.
Jesus,
Jesus,
you are the Son of God.
The Son.
Your sovereignty, your deity, your attributes. Your obedience, your example. Clap your hands. Say, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you, Jesus. That I may know you and the power of your resurrection. That I may know you. That I may have an encounter. Clap your hands. Lift up your voice. Say, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to know you.
Jesus.
The altar is speaking. The altar is speaking. The
altar is speaking.
The presence. The spirit. The power. The presence.
the Spirit.
Yes. Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus.
Pray.
I want to know you, Jesus. The Son of God. My witness. I want to testify of you, Jesus. He is born of the Lord.
Release your presence. Release your presence.
Lord Jesus, I want to know you. The Son of God. The one who came and died and resurrected. I want to know you, Jesus. The one who was manifested. Who became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, I want to know you. If my relationship with you is broken, I pray all thee, Jesus. I pray that you will manifest. You will
the
manifest.
Church is in prayer.
The church is in prayer.
The altar is speaking.
The altar is speaking.
The altar is speaking.
The altar is speaking.
The blood is speaking.
The blood is speaking.
The blood is speaking.
The blood is speaking.
The cross is speaking.
The cross is speaking.
The cross is speaking.
The cross is speaking.
Jesus.
Jesus.
The Son of God.
The Son of God.
Jesus.
Jesus.
The Son of God.
The Son of God.
Jesus.
Jesus.
The Son of God.
The Son of God.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jehovah.
Jehovah.
Elohim.
Elohim.
Pray.
Pray. Go ahead in the name of Jesus. Our Christ. Our Maker. The one who redeems. The one who saves. The one who delivers. We surrender our lives.
We come rejoicing.
Connect with the Apostle General on Twitter at Sam Crunchy, Facebook and Instagram, Sam Crunchy Ankara. Share your prayer requests and testimonies via info at royalhousechapel.org. Royal House Chapel, touching our generation with the power of God. God richly bless you. Yeah.